Officials at the Islamic Society of Markham calling for more action to combat Islamophobia after a recent attack at the mosque. Police say a man went to the mosque last Thursday, shouted Islamophobic slurs, and drove his vehicle directly at a worshipper. The 28-year-old behind the wheel has been charged with uttering threats, assault with a weapon, and dangerous driving. Police are calling it a suspected hate-motivated attack. As you heard many say, it's just the latest in a concerning rise of Islamophobic violence in the GTA. Amarnath Amarasingham is an assistant professor at Queen's University School of Religion who studies hate movement. Amarnath, good morning.
Good morning.
What do you think is happening?
I mean, hate crimes against the Muslim community across Canada have gone up, right? And Statistics Canada put out some worrying numbers recently that said incidents went up from 84 incidents in 2020 to 144 in 2021. And that's just the reported incidents. And So we know that the vast majority or large number of hate incidents go unreported. And there's some indication that 2022 numbers are going to be fairly similar or if not higher. So I think, you know, we've seen all sorts of things happen over the last several decades, you know, from students being attacked at universities to women having their hijabs and niqabs pulled off on subways to bomb threats against mosques, vandalism, you know, flyering, graffiti, that sort of thing. And all of that is, of course, added to by legislation that has happened from the Aeroville Charter in 2007 to the Charter of Values in 2013. In Quebec and Bill 21, of course, in 2019. And then you have the attacks like the Quebec City mosque attack that happened in 2017 to the London attack in 2021. So Islamophobic violence and hate motivated incidents are not unique to Canada and have been, you know, with us for some time.
You know, I feel like you and I have talked about this issue and about rising hate, particularly directed against Muslims, but not exclusively. I feel like I've talked to you about it since 9/11. You have likely talked about it since before that as well. What do you think, has anything changed that is exacerbating this? Is the GTA specific, or is it that the GTA is simply experiencing the symptom of a broader sickness?
Yeah, I think it's a symptom of things that are going on globally, right? And so we've seen the rise of far right movements since the Trump administration, but even going back to the Obama administration and in Canada as well. And we've seen Canadian movements kind of draw on that global rise in Islamophobic rhetoric and violence to kind of spur on their movements. We've also seen in the South Asian community kind of anti-Muslim sentiment pop up as well as this. It'd be accused in the Markham attack is not a member of the white community, right? And so we've seen Hindu nationalism on the rise. We've seen Sinhalese nationalism on the rise, and all of them have in common a kind of anti-Muslim sentiment at their core, and that's kind of spurred on by this idea that Muslims are this, you know, sinister fifth column in the country, that they're out to get you, that they're having a lot of kids to overthrow the majoritarian population or the majority population and things like that. And we've seen that sort of rhetoric part and parcel of not only white nationalist movements, but also nationalist movements in South Asia.
So how do you fight it?
Part of it is taking into account that these minor incidents, if you want to call it that, are also traumatic for this community, right? So we often only pay attention, close attention when there's loss of life, but we forget that even an incident like what happened in Montreal on Sunday or Markham, when a man broke into a mosque while people were praying and carrying a shovel of some kind and then yelled Islamophobic remarks at worshipers in Montreal, that all sticks with you, right? That's all trauma, even if there is no kind of, you know, thankfully loss of life. The worshipers there will carry that with them the next time they go to pray and so on. So I think part of it is getting a better handle on what hate-motivated violence looks like in the country. We know that even Statistics Canada said, you know, there are about 200,000 self-reported hate crimes in Canada per year, but only about 1,900 of those are actually reported to police. So that's a that's a vast discrepancy between people who say that they have experienced hate crime or hate-related violence of some sort and people who actually report it to police, right? And so it's important to get a sense of why that is. And part of the reason, of course, is that different definitions exist in different police forces across the country. There is no real, you know, federal hate crime as people think that exists. And, and so these things happen very locally, and there's vast discrepancy on how these things are thought about from police force to police force.
We had somebody on the program yesterday who is a member of that mosque community, wasn't there at the time of the attack, but the incident has change his behavior. And so I think about what he had to say in the sense of erosion of trust, that when he goes into pray now, into what is a community center, he's always looking over his shoulder. He thinks about where he stands. Yeah. He thinks about how he's going to defend himself. He's worried when outsiders are there. He relies more, therefore, on his community. We become more insular. And what his reaction is rational. But if we're not talking to one another, if we're isolating from one another, it does seem that it only serves to exacerbate.
Yeah, I mean, part of the way I think we can combat some of that is actual physical security, right? Better cameras, better gates, better security at religious institutions. And this applies to synagogues and churches and mosques as well. And second, as you point out, is for the community to come together around these targeted communities. We already kind of exist in these silos where religiously, culturally, we're not that as integrated as people think. Coming together to protect one another, to kind of show solidarity, I think, is important. That tends to happen after major incidents, like what happened in London or the Quebec City Mosque. But I think a lot of the community, a lot of the outside community doesn't necessarily get a sense of how common this is, right? Like hundreds of thousands of minor incidents that sometimes go unreported, from graffitis to anti-Muslim flyers being handed out and things like that, which I think there needs to be a kind of broader solidarity with targeted communities that only exist now after some major incident happens.
Yeah, the cost for us to engage and think about this shouldn't be a human life.
Yeah, exactly.
The National Council of Canadian Muslims is actually calling for specific legislation to combat Islamophobia, provincial legislation in particular, but federal as well. Do you think something like that could make a difference?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things they've been calling for, which I think the federal government probably agrees with, is this kind of hate crime accountability unit, which goes to what I was talking about earlier, is that the vast discrepancy of reporting across the country, vast discrepancy with each police department having a different definition of what it sees as hate crime or hate motivated violence, is a problem, right? And I think how you define hate crime, how you keep track of hate crime. Hate crime data determines a lot of programming and support at the local community with different communities. And so we do need a kind of more uniform definition of what we mean by these things, and a kind of accountability unit that could review activity by police departments related to these incidents and make sure that there's some sort of uniform data collection and activity around these issues across Canada, because right now that doesn't exist, surprisingly.
Amarna, thank you very much. I certainly appreciate your context on this. Amarnath Amarasingham is an assistant professor in the School of Religion at Queen's University. He's also an associate fellow at the International Center for the Study of Radicalization.